jiu-jitsu. Jiu-jitsu is no joke. It takes years to master.
Martial arts are a vehicle for developing your human potential. And nothing in my life has ever put me in face with reality better than jiu-jitsu.
Training in BJJ offers a powerful lens through which to examine some primary human concerns: truth versus delusion, self-knowledge, ethics, and overcoming fear.
There's more philosophy in our mats than actually philosophy in any Ivy League school.
Welcome to philosophy.
What up, guys?
And welcome to another episode of
philosophy.
How's it going, bro?
Amazing. I am shocked. So usually it takes us 30 minutes to set up the mic. and
we do the same thing again and again. Exactly. Like, we go through the same steps, the same process.
We literally watch a tutorial.
The same tutorial, the same YouTube tutorial, how to set up two USB mics for audition.
And Ali has been practicing. I just got here. It's like, pa, 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 ready. I was like, oh, shoot.
So, I feel like our audience are on a journey with us.
Yes. Yeah. So, what are we talking about today, Ali?
Today, we are going to talk about the concept of just showing up.
On that note, this is kind of... I actually have a question to you.
Good.
I think since lockdown started, you're the person that stayed most consistently disciplined, working out, and just being a psychopath about jiu-jitsu, right? Like, you know what I mean, right? Like, this is like a compliment.
Thank you very much, man. But it's because the first lockdown I failed. The first lockdown, within a month, I'd gone from 72 kilograms to 80 kilograms. I wasn't doing any kind of weights, no nothing, no jiu-jitsu. I just let it get completely out of control. And then... yeah, I like looked in the mirror one day and I was like, ooh.
Who is that guy?
That's fluffy.
Who the fuck is that guy?
Yeah, and it completely fell apart. And then I was like, well, that's not okay. And I learned from that. And I found a rhythm and a routine in lockdown that worked. I found like the weight regime and the cardio regime, the diet mostly important. I treated it like a holiday. I was having 3 ice creams a day and beers in the evening. Just like, and obviously what's going to happen? So now second lockdown, I know what works and I've just slipped back into that old routine. So thank you. But it's not magic. It's not like anything other than...
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, like, I think a lot of the ice cream stuff happened when we couldn't create a bubble.
Yeah, so and it was sunny.
Yeah, so like when the bubble came back, you're like, oh yeah. Hi, guys.
But how about you? How have you been finding it?
No, I had like one question on top of that.
Okay.
How did you find, like, for example, when was the time that you found the hardest, actually, to, like, sort of, like, when was the time when you were like, oh, my God.
First lockdown or second lockdown?
Second lockdown.
In the last few days where, like, the reality of it dawns. Like, when the actual... yeah, when the reality happens, when you're like, oh, maybe it would be this, maybe it would be that, like you're not sure. And then the first few days where you're like, oh, I actually can't go out. I can't see people. I can't go to the pub. I can't go to the cinema. I can't go to the gym. I can't do all these things. And the reality sets in and then you're like, that's when the panic can happen because you're like, what do I do? What like, and you start to like, and freak out and like, how do I handle this? But I've been pretty good, to be completely honest, like because it's not so much of an unknown anymore. First time I was actually living with someone during lockdown. The second time, my housemate has gone home, which is why I'm allowed to set up this support bubble. But yeah, it's just less of an unknown. But the hardest has definitely been the last few days when you're like right at the start of the 4 weeks as well. So you're looking out at it. Mm. It's always the hardest place to start. Yeah, that's been tough for me. How about you? What's been any struggles? Any pain points?
No, not at all, you know.
You're smashing it.
Yeah, smashing it. Actually, the reason why we picked this topic is because this morning, I got really out of hand. I have to show you my picture, man. I took pictures of my body last night. not those kind of pictures.
What are you
going to
show me?
Oh, my God, yeah. Yeah, like, I have to show you before and after. Like, sort of like before lockdown
Oh, I did that. I did that. You know, I looked at that. Yeah, yeah.
Ripped.
Yeah.
Ripped. I was a stud. And like, I mean, it's like, I mean, no disrespect to the dead buds, but.
But.
Yeah. I'm like dead bodying in the streets. You know, it's like, it's crazy. But it's like, the wake up call is synced in a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
I think the thing is just like finding a groove.
Yeah, it is.
And finding a routine that works for me.
Yeah.
So now I think like I know like what I want, sort of like set new goals of, okay, I want to get stronger and I want to learn a skill.
Mm-hmm.
So that's cool. You know, so like
that is cool. That's good. And it's achievable.
Mm-hmm.
Achievable goals, you know, within a realistic time frame. You just can't go wrong.
And it first started with that, just doing yoga every day. And sort of that's been cool. Because I think like doing yoga every day was like doing it by myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I still feel like, oh, my jujitsu is getting better somehow. You know, sort of.
Yeah, man,
I'm getting more flexible or something.
Yeah.
The thing that I found really, really difficult was not, I think was like more emotionally. Like sort of like I had like a dark horse that just came out of nowhere. It's like, ha, ha, ha.
A talking horse.
Yeah, yeah, like, ha, ha, got you.
Got you.
And I think, so midway through lockdown, I was like, okay, I felt weird. And not weird, I guess, like I learned new emotions. Like I was faced with new emotions and I became aware of them and it was terrible. But
confusing, I imagine.
Confusing. And I think the thing that it's interesting is even under those circumstances, is finding ways of showing up too. Meaning, I think the first thing is showing up means different things. First is just like actually saying, communicating that.
Yeah.
And just like, I think I was talking with a friend the other day and he was like, man, you're really good at communicating emotions. I was like, I'm not. I feel like I had to learn that.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I know what you mean. But isn't that amazing?
Hmm?
Isn't that amazing?
Hey, man.
That out of that
you
hardship
said it. You
has,
said
come,
it.
Has come a skill and an awareness and a new way of looking at things you didn't have before.
It's true. I think it's like it's still hard to look at it.
Yeah.
Because I mean, I just.
But it's happening to you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that's really hard.
Exactly, and also like it's like I'm still taking dead body pictures. You know what I mean? but it's true. Like,
hang on, are you saying dad body or dead body?
Dead.
As in, okay, as in
not dead. Like the body is alive.
Well,
the
I thought you said no disrespect to the dead. You meant no disrespect to dads.
Yeah, like,
okay, that makes way more
sense.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, like bad bod. So, Jesus, Ali. No, but I think it's like that is part of showing up as well. It's like it's doing the best that you can with what you have.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one thing that I learned is it's almost like emotional resource.
Yeah.
It's like at different times you have a different amount.
Yeah, it's a really interesting subject. Like the more I was thinking about it, because when I first started the gym, like so how long ago was that? It was probably like 12 years ago. Me and my mate started going to the gym.
When you said the gym 12 years ago, I was like 12 years at LFF is like
12 years at LFF.
Yeah, I think LFF
wow,
is.
I
like...
would actually be the longest white belt. No, when I first started weight training with my mate, it was a case of like. I just remember, I really do remember up until those years, like up until around about like 16, 17 maybe, like thinking like I really should go to the gym, but it just seemed so massive. Like it just seemed such a massive like commitment and it almost seemed unachievable to do, like to achieve what you, these like ultimate goals to completely transform and change your body and a massive unknown as well, like not knowing what workouts to do. And even when you do learn what workouts to do, people are there talking about like split days and push and pull and chest and back and like, and you're thinking like, oh, how do I like pick the perfect routine and the perfect program? And we always used to have this saying when I was training with the guys, which is like for the first two years of weight training don't count because you don't know what you're doing. And that's not a bad thing. That's actually a great thing because you're figuring out like what works, what doesn't. But what you are also doing is you're, the most important thing, in my opinion, which is cementing a routine, which then becomes part of your life. So not just like a habit, it just becomes normal. Mm. You go to the gym, you don't really think about it. Even if you don't want to go, you just know you're going anyway. And that's something massive to achieve. And then people tell you that diet's important. And you're like, oh my God, I've got to change that other part of my life. So it just can seem like this huge thing. But one of the most overriding things that I always hear about starting anything is just show up.
Mm.
Even if you just sit in the gym, even if you just walk around, even if you do a few things, show up, because that will start to cement the actual pattern, like the actual, in your brain, you are going to the gym, you're actually there, you're physically there, like you've gone through the motions, and that will then start to transform into actual work. You're nodding.
Yeah, I'm nodding. Like, I was literally listening to what you were saying. It's because it doesn't feel like it now. Mm-hmm. But like when you were saying, as I was thinking about, how was like the first time that I started working out?
Mm-hmm.
And it took me, like, I think it took me, let's say, almost a year and a half to lose 30 kgs.
That's pretty good going, though.
But the thing is, like, for the first year, I only lost 5. And then it's like in 5 months, I lost.
Then it flew off.
Yeah, because it's like that it means that first year.
Yeah.
I was just learning. I was getting like in the habit.
Yeah.
I was like reading a lot, and it's like, let's say, in the last, so like the next year started, and all of a sudden 25 just went like
just
this.
Went, yeah.
But it didn't just go like this. I just had all the ducks in one row. It just took me a year to get all the ducks in one row.
I think if you can make it through that kind of year where you've only seen 5 kilograms drop off, and yet you're still going, you're still trying. If you can make it through that year, that sets a foundation where you may not even be seeing the results, but and not until you get further along and look back that you realize how important that hardship there was.
And it's like, it's changing who you are, or like it was changing who I was as a person, and I didn't even know. Bro, that's so ridiculous. So I used to walk around, I had 2 pictures. I had on my wallet, one where I was like really fat, and another one where like I cut it like LL Cool J's body. It's just like, and put my face on it.
I love that. That's
and
so
I was
good.
Like, if you eat too much, like if you don't eat this calorie count,
yeah,
this is what you're gonna look like.
That's
and
awesome.
If you hit the calorie count, this is what you're gonna look like.
Yeah.
The thing that surprised me, it's like one day I was in the gym and I was like, oh my God, I don't look like LL Cool J, but I've surpassed any expectation that I had.
Yeah.
You know, like I remember I would tell my cousin, like, I just want to lose my man boobs. And it's like, bro, you can do much better.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then, like, I was in the gym and I looked and I was like, oh, but it doesn't feel how I, like, imagined it was going to feel like.
Yeah.
So I guess that's like, the good part about just showing up and not even having any expectations, just showing up and doing the work.
That's so true. I the gyms I went to, it was all about bodybuilding. So
yeah.
It was like you wanted to look like the bodybuilders, and like, and then I realized like the level of dedication it took, and I was like, I'm not sure about that. So then I started doing powerlifting, which was like so not aesthetic, like didn't matter if you were fat, it was just about shifting weight. And then I realized I didn't even enjoy that. So then, yeah, it wasn't until
because that takes dedication too. It's just like you just don't have to count calories, right?
I've told people this so many times. It wasn't until I started jiu-jitsu and stopped caring about the weight that I got the body I was trying to get. Like, yeah, I promise you. Like, the body I have now is what I wanted back then. And then when I was like, oh, do you know what? I'm just going to put all my time into jiu-jitsu. The weights can supplement. That's when, like, my body started to transform aesthetically how I want it. And now, like, I know it sounds maybe a bit cringe, but I'm not that fussed about it. Like, it's cool. Like, like, I like it, but I'm doing it because I want to be good at jiu-jitsu, and if I can be explosive and powerful and strong, that's just going to help my jiu-jitsu. And I mean, don't get me wrong, I take the little six-pack photo for the Instagram every now and then. Like I said to Coach, I put in too much work not to, but yeah, it's just a weird dichotomy. And I think more importantly, it's about accepting your body. Like, and I just believe that 100%. You need to feel comfortable with your body no matter how you look, because at any given point, something could happen and you can't weight train and you are going to put on weight and you are going to lose muscle. And then you have to be comfortable with who you are, because if you're striving for something for so much, you're giving all your time, you're not really focusing on you per se. You're focusing on the outward projection of you. I think more importantly, you just need to be content at least with what you have?
Here's one thing though. I think after that experience of like training so hard to get mm-hmm. this body and not sort of like getting the body, I wasn't at LLJ. I was close though. But it's like I'd say like getting past like and not feeling the way I expected.
Mm.
I think I don't, after that I realized like, oh, whatever feeling I'm expecting to get out of this huge goal, it's not gonna come. So I think I stopped, I guess maybe putting that expectation, oh, I gotta look good. But it was more like it also became a health thing. And I noticed now, it was only one day that I rolled with you in the park and you were training weights and sort of staying active at home and I wasn't. Then I was like, oh my God, I can only last for 1 minute. It's like, I think that sort of, that was like, oh my God, I'm out of shape.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of interesting because like now out of shape for me means I can't train jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
You know?
I think you got to really question why you're doing something. Like if you're entering into a competition where aesthetics are everything, then that should be your 100% focus and your goal. But then I think you really need to question like why you want to look like that if you're not doing the competition. Like why is it so important to look like that? Because I understand losing weight to feel better in yourself, and I understand losing weight to get healthy, and I understand losing weight to get better at sport. What I do sometimes struggle with is like, I have to look this way. Like why do you have to look a certain way? Like why is that so important for you?
And I think the thing that happens is you sacrifice so much and you don't notice.
So much.
It's like, I think it's like, because you have to, but it's, is it that worth it?
And the shock of the fact that so many people I know that get there, then what? Like, what's going to happen? It's not like the gold at the end of the rainbow. It's not like all these doors open and it's like, it's nirvana.
I saw, I saw a meme the other day. It said, girl, you're so beautiful. Why are you bad? You know, just like, which is kind of like the same thing. It's like, beautiful. My life is perfect, right?
Yeah.
But it's,
But I think, do you know what? I think body image for girls is really well documented in terms of like, it's just in our lifetime when you see like the big change in like models and like more, I want to say normal bodies, like just a better reflection of the variety of bodies that there are in the world. I think men is still a really big issue, right? Like it doesn't really get spoken about because I guess it can be seen as like vanity or things, but it, like as a man growing up, especially in those like formative years, you can be really shaped with this expectation of how you should look. And kids are mean, right? Like I'm going to go on out on a limb and assume that the way you looked is similar to the way I looked. And you got teased about like I've told people I've had these pecs since I was like six. like they've been this big, like all through my life. It's only now that I've maybe just grown into them. Even then, like people still comment on them. So that's like a big thing. Like when you have to, like you're told it's bad, like it's just your body, like you gifted it. Like it's not necessarily a bad thing if it is a certain way.
And it's like, I think it's like, it's hard to, for a kid to be like, I mean, whatever. It's my body. It's like, it's so hard like that. I remember...
It is so hard. To sit here and say, just accept your body is not easy.
I remember I was having this conversation with someone the other day, a friend, and I was telling her, oh, I'm really shy.
Mm.
She was like, you're not shy. Right? It's like... I was like, no, I'm really shy. She's like, no, you're not shy. And I realized that was not that I am shy or not shy. But it's... I remember someone, I think it's like a rap song, and the guy says something like, we still look, even though we survived through the struggle that made us, we still look at ourselves through the eyes of the people that hate us.
Decent.
You know, so it's like maybe that person that used to be shy and hated being shy.
Yeah.
And throughout the years, maybe made an effort. And now it's not shy anymore. It's like still look at myself through those eyes.
100%.
Right?
Yeah, 100%.
and
it's you're like, still that little kid inside.
Exactly,
you?
Right?
Yeah.
But it's like, oh, I'm not shy. And I mean, I am shy, but not as shy maybe, right?
Mm.
So it made me think like, oh, where else am I doing the same thing?
Mm.
Where I am judging myself through some eyes of someone that I'm not anymore.
Exactly.
You know?
I think the older you get, the better, well, at least I've found, the better I get an honest reflection of how I'm doing. Because you asking then, like, I remember vividly starting out my career and saying, I'm rubbish at this. Like, I actually know nothing about video production.
Mm.
I may have done a 3-year degree, but the reality is I actually have no idea what I'm doing.
Mm.
And thinking, like, do I even really want to do this? Because it's hard work. Like, this is actually really hard work. And I remember thinking, if I want to get good to this, I'm going to have to really commit to it. Like, I'm actually going to have to throw myself in and immerse myself and care about it. And at the moment, I'm not sure I do. And I decided that it was what I wanted to do. And now I look back now, and through work, I've actually started doing some mentoring. This guy wants to learn about video production.
Wow.
Dude, it's the best thing ever. He comes with all these questions, and I know all the answers. Wow. And he looks at me like, how do you know this? And it's literally because I've done it. It's not because of anything else. It's not because, like, I know... I guess, like, that's just the only way I can describe it. Everything he's asking me, I've experienced and I've done. So I'm able to offer a way of doing it. What's amazing, though, is the questions he's asking me is making me question whether my methodology is the best way to do it. So it's such a mutually beneficial experience. But, yeah, I still sometimes do feel like that little kid that doesn't have a clue what he's doing.
Yeah, I imagine, like, first time someone said... Because, like, especially, like, with video productions, like, you're on a set.
Yeah.
And someone says something and you're not 100% sure if that's the thing you should go pick up or not. Yeah. And you're like, oh, and you go and you're like, now you're in this room.
Yeah.
And you got the bag that he told you to go pick up. And you're like, oh, which bag is it?
Yeah.
You're, it's like,
oh, man, I've seen some horrible stuff on sets where, like, they're so ruthless. And the director's just like, who is this chump you've bought me? That has no idea what he's doing.
Does on my way here, I was listening to sort of like a letter that one of my favorite poets wrote to one of his friends before he passed away. And I think on the letter was themed, don't try.
Mm.
And his whole thing was like, don't try to write. Don't try to, like, he was talking about young writers. He was saying the problem with young writers is that they want to write a best-selling novel and get all the beautiful women around them and live in 5-star hotels, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But don't try. Don't try to get people to like you. Don't try it. And then it says something like, writing poems and writing novels is as easy as jerking off. Just sit and do it. That's literally how it says. It's just as easy as that. Either you do it or you don't.
Yeah.
All this shit about, like, success, not success. That's not up to you kind of thing. It's like, you just write the fucking thing.
Yeah.
And that's it.
But isn't that so true? Some people, like, they almost don't do it because they, like, they feel like they need to do all this preparation to get good at it. The whole point is, do it and you'll get good at it. Like, you're going to suck. It's going to be rubbish. But the act and art of doing it.
I think we all do a little bit of that, like, in some way, either, like, we care too much about it, like, we like, over-prepare, or we just don't do it at all, right?
Yeah.
But it's, like, I think it's, like, it's the fear of not doing it. It's, like, your mind fucking with you, not letting you do the
thing. It's also vulnerability. Like, how many times in art and creative stuff, do you appreciate someone if they show vulnerability? If they're, like, this is what I genuinely think and believe, and, like, I'm opening myself up for criticism, and you may attack this, but I passionately believe this. And that vulnerability almost, like, disarms that whole... that critic behind people where they want to appreciate what you've come up with. That's more genuinely passionate, where it comes from a place within where you're not guarding and protecting it. If you open yourself up to that, I often think it gets a better reception.
It's quite true. Like, 'cause the thing is also, like, a lot about, in a way, it's a lot about just knowing your flaws and accepting them. Like, sort of like knowing sort of like, being honest with yourself about, I don't know this, or
100%.
I'm scared.
I was thinking, you know, when you were saying about the film set example, where I've had a situation where a decision had to be made and everyone was looking at me. And I remember thinking, thankfully, I'd had enough advice, enough training to be able to say, actually, do you know what? I don't know. I feel a pressure to answer this, but I actually don't know what to do. If you surround yourself with a good team in that environment, they can come up with suggestions and answers and work through it, give you options, give you solutions. I think so much time people feel that they should know, and you don't necessarily have to.
But I mean, if you think about it, like, I think it's so hard, like, especially growing up, we all went to school and you had to have the answer.
Like
you either get the right answer or you're out of here. Yeah. So, and then you get a job and it's like, nobody knows. Like, in reality, nobody knows what's going on.
Nobody knows. And everyone's figuring out, like, how they work with other people and how they communicate in difficult situations. And, like, they're all figuring it out with their own issues. And, yeah, it's rare that you get someone, unless they've been doing the same thing a long, long time, that really can hone their craft.
Because it's like, I think I was talking to an older DP, and during conversation...
That's a director of photography.
Oh my God, I forgot.
For those of you that aren't clued up on your cinematography lingo, a director of photography basically shapes the look of a film or a video, usually sits behind the camera and is like the go-to point for lighting, lenses, cameras, direction, as opposed to a director who sets the scene and communicates the whole vision of the film. Wow, that three-year film degree course really paid off.
Yeah, man. The line between PG-13 in that word and way beyond PG-13, the DP thing. I'm pretty sure someone was like, ooh, what kind of podcast is this? And it's like, he was much older.
Mm.
And in the conversation, my first reaction was going to be like, oh, what should I do with my career and this and that? But he's also figuring out the world has changed so much. Like, he's also figuring out, oh, what is this Vimeo thing? You know, like, how, like, it's like...
The world's moved on.
Exactly. But at the same time, he's very experienced.
Yeah.
He knows a lot.
Yeah.
But there is a lot that he doesn't know. But it's like, from that place of insecurity.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, we become so self-centered that it's like, you know, get lost in our own...
I've got one for you. I work with a guy, the best director of photography I've ever worked with, hands down. I've never seen anyone shoot a scene better than him. He's incredible. And everyone who looks at his work just says, like, yeah, that's beautiful. But he is a nightmare to work with.
Is it?
A nightmare. The stories I have on him, man, honestly. He was working with one client. The client came down in the morning and said, what are you doing? Like, what are we doing next? And he turned around to the client and says, who do you think you are asking me what I'm doing? I'm doing my job. You don't see me come in and tell you what to do. Completely uncalled for. Just not even needed, not even necessary. But that was the kind of, like, mad, creative, wild, like, dark thoughts that this guy had. Like, there was another one where I think the sound man said to him, like, look, the client thinks we're, like, slacking off here. And he turned around and says, we are. I have everything I need. I'm just doing this for fun. I'm just making this up as I go at this point. I'm doing it for me, not the client. He was a nightmare. But he would shoot the best I've ever shot. Ever. Would you work with him?
Of course. That's the thing. It's like, because I want to
because
see
that. Because he's good.
Yeah, I want because to see good. That. Because
he's good. It's a risky thing, though. But it does mean, you know, if you're good, you can get away with a lot.
You can get away with a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean... a good example of that is, I think, in jiu-jitsu, is like Gordon Ryan. You know, like, it's like, if he wasn't good, like, what's the name of that guy? He's good, but maybe he's not as good at the moment. Connor's coach, jiu-jitsu coach.
Oh, John Kavanagh?
No, the
coach. I know the one you mean.
He used to train with Marcelo Garcia.
Not Roddy?
Nah, he has, like, I'm forgetting his name.
Dylan Danis,
right?
There we go.
It's like, he's good, but he's not one of the best in the world right now.
Yeah, he's just mouthy.
Yeah, he just, like, talks too much. But so would you like...
Yeah, you gotta be able to back it up.
Exactly. So, but it's like, you can see Gordon Ryan talking too much on Instagram, and you're like, this guy talks too much.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh my God, he talks so much. But if he was like, here, hey, do you want a private? You're like, yeah, sure. You know, you want a free private? True. Sure. So
we haven't really spoken that much about our topic today, have we?
No, I think we did, bro, because in a way it's like we don't have a topic and we're here, we showed up. Like it's not even a joke. Like
I did have a question I wanted to ask you though. What made you wanna, like, why did you start on the journey to lose all that weight?
Well, Ollie, let me tell you a story. So first of all, there was this kid, Rafael, and we were
shout
just,
out to Rafael.
We were just playing football, and we were waiting on the bench because it's like one team scores, the other gets in, and he arrives late. He just goes like, "Hey, what's up?" Just slaps my titty a little bit. I was like, "It's like never again." Never again. Nobody's touching my titty like this ever again. So that was like one moment. Mm-hmm. But of course, nothing changed. I was like, I maybe didn't eat too much that day. And then, my cousin was living in Cuba, but he was like my oldest cousin, so everyone looks up to him. Comes back. First time he sees me, he's like, "What the fuck, man? What happened? You got titties." It's like went on this, but it was good to hear sort of like someone that was saying it like he cares about me and like sort of saw something best for me. Mm-hmm. So New Year's, it was me, him, and two of my friends, and we're sitting there. They're drinking, and he goes like, "Man." He's trying to convince me. And then he just started, I think I was like 17, all the hormones, like, "Man, you're going to get so many girls." And I was sold. I was sold. And
well, because he said if you lose the weight, you'll get the girls.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, man, you won't even say a word. You just walk in and you just like put your arm like this. And then I just started working out so hard. But like my goal was, I just wanted to lose my man boobs because of that kid, Rafael. I didn't care about lifting weights, but like I just became really interested. I found it really fascinating.
Because I was going to ask what kept you going.
Yeah, like I just found it really interesting. Like I was reading about nutrition, I was learning all these things.
Mm.
And I think that was the thing that I really enjoyed, just the learning. And then my friend stopped, so we bought like a bench. That was all we had. We had a bench and a few dumbbells.
Mm-hmm.
My friends and I were all contributing. We used to go to my cousin's room and train.
Nice.
One of my friends was so skinny, he couldn't even pick up the bar. No. He couldn't bench the bar. He needed someone to support him. But yeah, I would go every day. I would read programs on the internet. And then at some point, I was like, I need to pay for a gym membership. Which is like... And 6 months of that, and then next thing I knew,
the girls came.
No way, bro. No way. And it was, I think it was quite an interesting thing to see that, to learn that it was all useless because no girls came. I'm kidding, it wasn't useless. It was a really good lesson because I did it for me from that point on, and that was a good thing. Maybe if the girls have come, first of all, I would have become very shallow, and then I'll probably...
Oh, boo-hoo.
Mm?
Boo-hoo.
It's like I wouldn't have learned something that I liked just for myself.
You got to do it. Yeah. You've got to do it for the right reasons and for you.
What about you?
Similar, man, similar. Yeah, I remember being at an outdoor pool in the summer. And someone making a joke being like, "Oh, my nan's got smaller tits than you," or something like that.
That's kind of funny.
It's kind of funny, man. Yeah, it's kind of funny.
Kids are mean,
right? They are. But yeah, I used to get jokes like that all the time. Because they, like I say, man, they were this size, but like on a smaller body.
Yeah.
And then... I don't know, mine was a weird one. Like, I never really was... Like, I always kind of knew that I was, like, chubby. Like, overweight. So I started working out and I kind of got to a good point. And then I kind of got lost in this idea that I had to get like really big and muscly. Yeah. Like I kind of just got wrapped up in this like, and I think it was kind of what I was going through at the time. Like, I don't know, I just had a lot of confusion around like my parents breaking up and like this macho manly figure that you had to be. And like, I don't know, I was kind of angry. So I thought like the bigger you get, like the more like you can like fight that away, which is just so wrong.
It's almost like building an armor.
Do you know what I mean? Like feeling like that was the answer, to be like this big, like tough, like image. And then the reality is like that has nothing to do with it. And then, yeah, just like going way too far. And then realizing that actually this isn't what I want.
Just to get a perspective. How tall are you?
5'10".
At your heaviest / strongest?
16.76. That's 106 kilograms.
How much were you benching?
150 kilograms.
Squatting?
180.
Deadlifting?
230.
As fucked up and as fat as you were? And I mean like fat in the sense that like you are not happy how you are, like it sort of like you're not that big for the right reasons.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah. The thing I will always say, the positive that came out of it is that ingrained in me is that discipline now to go to the gym, to train, to do it. Because one of the things I am a huge believer in is that motivation can get you to start, but it won't get you to stick. That has to come down to discipline and motivation. That kid saying that, flicking your man boob, that girl making that joke, like, that is not enough to get you to go every single day, day in, day out. You have to have more of a focused, small, attainable goal that becomes bigger and bigger and bigger to make a habit a discipline.
It's enough to get you to the door, to the gym for the first time. It's like, when I mean it's cool, I think it's pretty cool, like, to see someone who was, like, really skinny, really not skinny, but like not as strong, to actually I'm picturing like you getting as strong, like going from like lifting 12 pound dumbbells.
No, it's funny when lifting. when you said about the guy that couldn't bench the bar, when I first went to the gym, I couldn't dumbbell press 10 kilogram dumbbells. And obviously there are people like worse, there are people better, but I couldn't, like, I struggled to do it. To then, if you look at the journey, to then be benching 150. The thing is, I even get like a bit weird saying 150, because it's like in that sphere of people that powerlift, 150 is not a lot.
A lot for you, bro.
It's a lot for me. Yeah, I'll take that as well.
Yeah, that's why I said like that's really cool. I don't know all these other people. I'm just seeing like the kid with the titties bigger than the nine. You know, like going for like 150. Yeah. It's like
it's probably a big part of why I try and strength my way out of everything, because I've got this idea that like the bigger and stronger you are, you can like overpower your opponent. Jiu-jitsu is the perfect sport for me, but it takes like a lot of time to turn that shit the right way.
Did you have a moment ever like in jiu-jitsu where you're like, oh my god, today was a terrible like day, either rolling or learning and like struggling? I mean, not that made you, because I feel like the more you struggle, the more you want to go back, like the more engaged you get, but at the same time sometimes it gets like,
I've actually just thought of it. I was about to give you a real boring answer and be like, some days I just like I'm not trying, like I'm not giving everything, I'm not giving the most. But those are the days I hate, when I step off the mat and I know I didn't operate at 100% for whatever reason. Like, maybe I was tired, maybe my head just wasn't it. Those are the days I hate myself for not giving 100% every single day. Those are the days I try and reduce. But what's funny is the days where I get messed up by someone are the days that it's not like I love it, because I don't love getting messed up by someone, but you learn and you appreciate so much. And that's the day when you have no ego and you're rolling and you're learning from being messed up. And the day that happened to me was over Christmas. I went to a wrestling class back home and it was just me that showed up. And the guy there, awesome wrestling coach, was teaching me loads of stuff, was showing me loads of things. And then two guys turned up, two brothers who are from Gloucester, who the nicest possible guys. I'd never met them. They rocked up and they knew the wrestling coach. They said, can we join in? He said, yeah, absolutely. I didn't know at the time, but these guys fight MMA, blue belt. Man, the moves they were hitting on me was incredible. Was amazing. And they were going through me like nothing, to the point where they slowed up and they were like letting me get stuff, letting me work. But then, like, do you know what I mean? Yeah, then they like, then they go again.
It's like,
and I think I think the wrestling guy, he could tell that like it was okay, but he said to me like, oh, you know, like this is good for you, they're better than you, they're learning. And I looked at him like, bro, this is amazing. Like this is incredible. Because I was watching them go, I was asking them questions, they were telling me things, like he was pointing stuff out, and it was an incredible learning experience. So the days where you're rubbish aren't necessarily because of the person better than you, it's because of you. Or at least that's what I think. Those are the days I hate when I didn't show up.
That's really interesting. Because remember, there was like this tournament, bro. I lost every fight.
I remember, bro.
Right? Like, I lost every fight. And then the last fight, I'm not even sure. I'm not even sure if I won or not. But I remember that, like...
10 fights, right?
Yeah.
I remember. It was Grappling Industries.
Yeah, and then, like, the last fight, I was just like, I almost didn't fight, and then when I fought, just gave everything.
Yeah. I think you won the last one, didn't you?
Yeah, I took him down.
That was it.
Perfect. And, like, I remember, I was bummed, because I remember that day, that week, the last 2 weeks, I was drilling double legs. I never shot a double leg until my last fight. And it was, I don't know what it was, but I wasn't in it. And I remember that last fight, I fought so hard. And I just didn't have anything in my tank. Mm. And that feeling was much better than whether sort of like won or lost kind of thing.
You left it all on the mat.
Yeah,
definitely. How did you feel after that competition?
I mean, it was my birthday too. Jesus Christ. Yeah, like, I mean, I think because of the last fight, and I spoke with Jeremy because I was drilling with him.
Mm.
I was like, bro, I never did what we drilled. So it's like, I remember, I don't know what, I was not in it. Like, and I think that maybe that's what I learned. It's like, do what you train.
Yeah.
Don't like, it's like.
Not divine inspiration on the mat.
Yeah, but it wasn't even divine inspiration. I think the way I fought, I was like, I was not fighting until the last fight.
Yeah.
I feel like, and I think that was the question that maybe I should ask myself. It's like, am I really fighting?
Mm.
You know, like, am I really fighting? It's like, if this was for my life, would you just like hold guard and stay here, or am I really fighting?
Yeah.
One thing I struggled with, and jiu-jitsu helped me a lot, is it's back to the emotions thing. It's, I never been really good at expressing anger.
No, me neither. I struggle with it a lot, actually.
Yeah. Like, being, like, sort of like, bro, Luis is like a extreme model of expressing every emotion. Remember that graph?
Yeah. All at once.
All at once. One day, you get to see all the emotions.
And that's
right?
Also a compliment, because he has got... We obviously joke about his outward appearance, but underneath it, he has got a lot of emotional intelligence, an exceptional amount.
And I think a good thing that I learned, it's also like, I remember many times before the fights, he was like, man, what the fuck is this shit? Meditate. This is a fight, man. It's a fight, man. Slap yourself in the face. And not even. Like, I remember the other thing was, like, I remember one day I was sparring, right?
Mm.
And it was the same thing. Not fighting, not bringing that anger out. And he's just, like, screaming, like, bro, if you don't fight, if you don't fight right now, if you don't get up, like, he's screaming.
Yeah.
It's like, motherfucker, if you don't fight right now, for a week, you're not coming. If you don't, because I had the single leg and I'm just holding the single leg.
Yeah. Did it work?
Hmm?
Did it work?
Of course it did. Yeah. This is like, but I think that's something that I learned about myself, that I really struggle with expressing anger. I can see it, like, if we go like towards childhood shit. Yeah. Like, but it's like, it's not like an emotion that I've been comfortable, like, being
no,
like,
me neither.
Ah!
Yeah.
You know?
But it's so funny, because the same is with me. When coach says, Like when coach starts yelling at me, getting in my head, like, you're not going to take that. You're going to make him suffer. You're going to make him pay. Like, and I feel my whole energy ramp up and I become focused. And it's not that I actually want to hurt you. It's that I just want to beat you.
Yeah.
And I feel that happen inside of me. But the thing is, like, look, take anger on the mats. Imagine if you got angry and lashed out on a jiu-jitsu mat. Think of the repercussions that would happen.
But wait a second. Here's the thing. Because of not knowing how to express anger, The thing that I learned is that anger is pretty cool in the sense that you can use it for the right reasons.
Yeah, you can.
You can use it for the right reasons. I remember one of the things that I noticed is when I was saying, like, I had emotional stuff.
Yeah.
The baseline emotion I was experiencing was apathy.
Yeah.
So I was like, I don't care about anything.
Really?
Yeah, I don't care about anything.
Yeah.
It is much easier. I noticed, like, for example, when you're, like, kind of like, because you go on the internet, how to deal with apathy, write gratitude list, people you love. Fuck that shit. Here's what works for me. Get angry. Like, it's like from apathy to great gratitude, such a big gap.
Yeah.
Emotions to go up. But, like, from apathy to start imagining, like, who is it that I don't like?
Mm.
If they knew I was like this and doesn't like me, how would they feel? I was like, there's no way I'll give this person the pleasure. That is like the apathy would start getting away a little bit, right? Yeah. So, like, but that is something that, like, I learned from jiu-jitsu, from, like, trying to, like, not necessarily hurt the other person.
Yeah.
But knowing that there is something dark there.
And, mine was the opposite. For a long time, my base level was anger.
Mm.
Like, I'd think of, like, aggressive things and, like, aggressive scenarios. And it was just, like, I wasn't dealing with the clearly quite obvious trauma I was going through, like, in my life. And then it came out in, like, big bursts of aggression. And then it wasn't until I acknowledged that and started doing the same steps, which, like, kind of helped. Like, you know, when you do, like, you recognize your thoughts and you recognize them and then you deal with them and then, if they come back, you recognize them again, but you don't let them control you. I spoke about stuff a lot, blah, 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 and it kind of helped. Jiu-jitsu solved it. Like, jiu-jitsu made me a better person because it showed me that anger, like, misuse it. You lose all your ego. And like I say, if you lashed out, like, that has no benefit to anyone. In fact, the only damage it's going to do is to you. And jiu-jitsu showed me to control it, to respect it. And then when you learn how to have that jiu-jitsu power, I guess, like that more technique, to be respectful to others, to not abuse it, to not do, like, bad things with it. That's probably the biggest influence it had on me. And people actually said to me as well, like, you are an immensely better person because you've started doing jiu-jitsu.
Wow. That's really beautiful. And the thing that is like, it's odd is, how do you explain that to someone else? Because you just sound...
This is the thing I struggle most with, like, to ever really do jiu-jitsu justice in a 5-minute conversation. People are like, why do you love it so much? And you're like, honestly, how long have you got?
Yeah, and it's like, literally, because when a person realizes what you're talking about, you know what they're saying? Yeah. Oh, that sport where the two guys just hug each other on the floor.
Yeah, just hug each other on the floor. Yeah, wearing pajamas. I really don't know. Some people take the fitness route, which is kind of true. Like, any kind of big fitness is beneficial for you. Some people take the emotional route. Jiu-jitsu for me is the closest representation to life in every single possible way. And it's the realest shit you will do. Like, you are never more present than when someone is trying to rip your head off. And the absolute beautiful thing about jiu-jitsu is that if you do it for long enough, you are beyond comfortable when someone is trying to physically maim and kill you. You're actually just so comfortable, you're thinking it through, you're not even fazed and worried, and then you can overpower them and you win.
I was listening to Michael Bisping, sort of like this
clip. Don't do that.
No. It was just a little clip because I saw, like, on my YouTube feed, like, Michael Bisping talking about jiu-jitsu. I was like, click straight away. And one of the things he was saying, he was like, man, sometimes his friend was asking him, like, how is it feeling, like, being a UFC champion? Almost every room that you walk in, you know that, like, unless it is a person with two eyes and two new knees and yeah. was a champion as well, can beat you up. And he was like, man, it's crazy, like, but I don't really think about it.
Yeah.
But I know that, like, nobody can mess with me. Like, sort of, it's like I don't feel insecure or anything like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And his friend was talking about, like, man, I regret that I only learned jiu-jitsu so late.
Yeah.
Because it taught me how much, like, sometimes I was getting angry and playing a bravado.
Just to try
to prove a point.
You can't hide on the mats. You cannot hide. And if you do, like, if you try and have that bravado, and let's say, like, you do have a front and you do that, like, you're just going to get shown so quickly that that's not acceptable, that that's not allowed.
Yeah, you look ridiculous.
You do. You're so stupid. Bro, have you ever read... I'm going to have to give you this book. It's called Angry White Pajamas. It's about a guy in Japan. Him and his mates start Aikido. And it's about their, like... I think it's maybe 3 or 5 years or maybe a year journey to basically like master Aikido.
Mm.
And there's a quote in there I always remember, which is like, there's 3 stages of looking at other people. And like, the first one is like, I wonder if like who would win in a fight. And then the second stage is like, maybe I could win in a fight. Then the third one is they're like, they don't want to fight me. Which I think is so accurate.
Yeah. That's literally like the first thing. It's like, they say that, everybody thinks they're funny.
Yeah. And everybody... Mike Tyson. Everyone's got a plan until they get punched in the face.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody thinks they're funny and everybody thinks I can do well in a fight.
Yeah.
It's like... It's weird, man. I think that the thing is about like this whole vulnerability thing where it's... Sometimes we see people doing great things.
Mm.
Or and great things, I don't mean like Ronaldo scoring a hat trick against Spain in the World Cup.
Mm.
I mean like just simple everyday things that are very banal. That's what you say, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, like taking care of a child. That's mm-hmm. really hard. Or taking care of a dog.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
yeah. But it's like, it is a great thing. But first of all, we don't really know what we're doing. We're just going along and doing the best that we can. And it's always like admirable to see like people that they do show up, like everyone has problems, you know.
Mm.
It's like getting out of bed and going another day and going another day. I mean, Luigi's always talking about this, like being the light in the middle of the darkness, and you know. But I guess the question is, how do you think, if you could pick a word? And you're not allowed to ask me the same question. Okay. If you could pick a word, how are you seeing, like, or an intention, right? Like, what does, like, let's say, whenever we can roll again and stuff like that, what does showing up will mean to you in jiu-jitsu?
I have to give you a word.
Don't think too much. Just whatever comes to mind.
Committed. Yeah, completely committed to it. I think about this quite a bit, actually. Like, how many people have walked in the gym, looked coach in the eyes and said, like, yeah, I want to do this forever. Like, I want to do this for life. And then got their blue belt and disappeared. Or, like, something similar. Like, he must have seen so many people. And he's probably looking at me when I'm like, yeah, I want to do this forever. Or I want it to always be a part of my life, and thinking, like, we'll see. Because so many people think they do. And it's a long road. It's a long road. And I haven't even started that road, really.
Remember that guy that got his blue belt, but he started with Galinho. Galinho is a brown belt and he's a...
Oh, yeah. I won't say his name.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But that
started, I mean, at the same time, and Galinho kept going and he stopped. And
but I guess, like, it just shows like how people's journeys are different as well.
Yeah. And that's not a bad thing as well. Yeah. Like, we don't know why he stopped. Yeah. We don't know like what he did. Like, maybe jiu-jitsu wasn't his biggest priority and maybe it had to fall off the plate.
Yeah, but it's true, man. It's committed.
And I'm not allowed to ask you.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, the good thing about it is this conversation is just between you and I. Nobody heard. Just said that. So
I do have a question for you. Where do you see your jiu-jitsu next year when you move to Zambia? Does it still play
in your life? You know, like, it's like I've been thinking about this a lot.
Mm.
So first thing I thought is like, how am I going to get better?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, I'm going to commit to yoga every day, at least 30 minutes. That's like baseline. Because I know some of my flaws right now. It's, I understand the basics, but I don't have patience.
Mm.
When I move from position to position.
What is it coach says? Like, you know what to do, but you don't know what you're doing.
And I am very clumsy.
Yeah.
So I picked vinyasa yoga. Nice. Which is about moving with intention. So every move, being aware of it, breathing through every move. So it's like something I want to practice, just that, being patient and moving with intention.
Sounds smart.
Yeah. So that's something I said, yeah, if I do it for a year, every day, I'm going to breathe better when I'm rolling. I'll be able to roll for longer. And I'll have good flexibility, so nobody passed my guard.
Nobody passed your guard. So that 2021, no one passed your guard.
That was number one. Second thing, I was just like looking at like Lusaka. I was like looking at the gym that I want to go to and all the other gyms, like looking at schedules. It's like, okay, now get there, find that training partner.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's just like find that guy that on the weekend, we're going to drill what our coach said, and we're going to drill all these DVDs.
It just makes the world a difference.
You know what I mean, right? Yeah. It's like, because to be honest, I think I remember listening to John Danaher the other day talking about this. He was like, if you think about it, don't think about it in this year, I'm going to achieve this.
Mm.
Think about it in the next 10 years.
Yeah.
Just that drill from Rafael Mendes, they're like, I'm really sort of like obsessed about and like watching the tutorials.
But get obsessed. Do you know what I mean? Get obsessed. Like, and get amazing at that one thing.
Yeah, exactly. Just that.
Yeah.
Get a half guard and stuff like that. You know, like just something that I really, really like.
Mm.
If I just drill that, train that, and find the time to repeat it, that's it. So like my plan is do yoga for a year. Find the training partner that I'm gonna train with over and over.
Yeah.
So I can train every day. And then make sure that you come to London at least once a year.
Around October.
Around October or around tournaments.
Around tournaments.
You know what I mean? So like it's like either one or the two. So like I can test it.
Yeah.
And I can smash your boy.
I like your boy, but I have to smash him.
Those are like, so far, that's how I thought about it, because I think thinking about it in a year term,
but you will still keep doing jiu-jitsu.
Oh, no, I was thinking of doing poker rally. This guy. Actually, the other thing that's really important is the podcast, because this one. So, because we were talking about this the other day, that we're not experts, right?
Whoa. I've got a 10-year video production. Kind of a big deal.
I mean, 80% of this podcast was us talking about video production. So, I mean, let's be clear. This is our journey into jiu-jitsu, and we're speaking with people who are also in their journey with jiu-jitsu, with life.
Mm-hmm.
And we did not take any responsibility for any dumb decisions you guys do. But this is like a journal that we're going to look back to episode 15, episode 10, and be like, who the fuck are these guys, right?
100%. You thought you had a half guard.
Exactly, right? And it's like, it's the same thing. It's like, what is the goal for the podcast in the next year? No, it's like, jiu-jitsu is going to be here for a long time.
Yeah.
So the podcast is just...
we just got to make it happen.
Yeah.
We just got to figure out a way to set a time.
Yeah.
To dial in.
To be fair, the podcast is just like us kicking. It's like, you know, like after jiu-jitsu, but it ends up being like a journal, because we keep...
That's probably the records. Best way of thinking about it.
And I guess like we will look back at this. It's like, because we're talking about like, oh, this changed my life in this specific way. In 10 years,
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like you'll listen to this, like, oh my God, I forgot that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I forgot true. When coach used to scream at me. He's an old man now. He's so calm and doesn't scream anymore.
Well, this episode, we've recorded for 60 minutes, so I'm not sure I'll listen to this one, but the sentiment is right, I think.
Yeah, man, the sentiment is right. Before anything, just to close it with showing up, one of the greatest actors of all time is Henry Fonda.
Mm-hmm.
And it's said that when he'd perform on theater, till his last performance, he'd get so anxious he'd vomit on stage going on stage.
Wow.
And then he'd perform. But he'd always pull up.
Always pull up.
So, Henry. I don't know. Do we make a poem? Do we share a poem?
I think we have to have poetry, King. I think it's just become a staple of...
I must say, like, I had a poem in mind, but after this conversation, I think we should change the poem.
You want a different poem? Go on.
Yeah, like, let me whisper in your ear.
Go on, just type it in.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Man, I was going to whisper in all his ear and just cut me off like that. Jesus.
You okay, bro? Is that your first time using a phone?
Using iPhone? Bro, like, I think iPhone is overrated.
Not now. It's not the podcast for that.
I think, like, the day they make, like, underwear, you guys will buy it.
Right. Poetry King.
You just cut me off. It's like, Jesus Christ. Okay.
Poetry King with Iki.
Bluebird. There is a bluebird in my heart that wants to get out. But I'm too tough for him. I say, stay in there. I'm not going to let anybody see you. There is a bluebird in my heart that wants to get out. But I pour whiskey on him and inhale cigarette smoke. And the fucking bartenders and the grocery clerks never know that he's there. There is a bluebird in my heart that wants to get out, but I'm too tough for him. I say, stay down. Do you want to mess me up? You want to screw up the works? You want to blow my book sales in Europe? There is a bluebird in my heart that wants to get out, but I'm too clever for him. I only let him out at night sometimes when everybody's asleep. I say, I know you're there, so don't be sad. Then I put him back, but he's singing a little in there, and I haven't quite let him die, and we sleep together like that with our secret pact, and it's nice enough to make a man weep, but I don't weep. Do you?
Beautiful.
So, guys, let that bluebird out. Nah, just kidding. Have a lovely day. Thank you so much for listening. If you stayed with us past 60 minutes...
I got nothing but love.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. It's preposterous. Thank you so much. Have a lovely day. Lovely evening. Make sure you stay safe in the streets, and we see you when we see you.
Awesome.